Good morning. I hope you enjoyed getting to watch that video there for a couple minutes. I thought I would start this morning by just showing you a little bit of a picture into the real world in which the kids that we get to minister to in India live. And that was footage that was just actually taken in our town, in our village, in our home. Those pictures that were taken inside of that temple with those people worshiping. That's a temple that we've all been to. Those of us that have made that trip, we've all been in that temple. We've seen that man there in that white robe holding that, those candles, all that. It's real stuff. It's not stuff that we just found on the internet. Those are real places and real people. And so I thought it would be a good place for us to start today. But first of all, I just want to say thank you. First of all, thanks to Pastor Greg for allowing me to have this opportunity. You all pray for he and his family. I'm so thankful that they've had some time to get away. I don't think any of us will ever understand what someone in his position carries, the weight of doing what he does. And so times for them to get away and hit the reset button and find neutral are probably more critical than we even realize. So just pray for them that he and his family will have an amazing time. And I'm thankful to him for giving me the opportunity to do this. When he asked me, he said, "Do you just want to take that Sunday when I'm gone?" And I said yes, and then I hung up the phone and my heart started beating fast. And I'm like, man, I think I just said yes to taking the whole Sunday at First Baptist Church. And to be completely honest with you, we do this all the time. Over the last 13 years, I've spoken probably in hundreds of churches doing what I'm doing this morning, sharing my testimony, talking about Boys and Girls Christian Home. I've never had butterflies show up like they have this morning. Before the first service, I was sitting down there. I'm like, man, what in the world's going on? I was so nervous. And then when I got going in the first service, I kind of relaxed a little bit and I'm like, okay, they're gone, but they just circled and they just came back. So I don't know where they went, but they're back. So you pray for me this morning that I can work through that and allow myself to just share what God's put on my heart this morning, because I feel like he's given me some things to share. I think it's just harder in your home church. I don't know what it is. I guess when you go away and you don't know anybody, you can just kind of get up there and talk and then leave. But here you all know me, and some of you know me better than I want you to know me, because you know the good, bad, and the ugly. You know everything. So it's okay, and especially in light of what we're talking about this morning. Pastor Greg told me later when we talked about this morning, I said, "What do you have in mind? What would you like me to do that morning?" He said, "You can just do whatever you'd like to do." He said, "You can just preach a traditional message." He said, "You can share your testimony, or you can just get up and talk about Boys and Girls Christian Home the whole time." He said, "It doesn't matter to me." He said, "You just do whatever God lays on your heart." And so I prayed about it, and I couldn't land on one of those things. So you're just going to get a potluck this morning. I'm just going to do a little bit of all three of those things, if that's okay. I've got some things that I feel like God's been teaching me and showing me from Scripture, and so I'm just going to share about those things. I'm going to tell you part of my testimony and my story. I'm a story guy. I like stories, and I love stories that involve God. And I love stories that involve God meeting us where we are and doing what God does. And that's what my story is. My story is just filled with that, of times of me having encounters with God and God impacting my life. So I'm going to tell you part of my testimony this morning. And then I'm going to talk a lot about these kids that I love so much in India and talk about what God's doing over there and just share with you some encouraging things that I can share with you this morning, because these things go on because of you. Because of people like you that have given so sacrificially to us over the last 13 years. And those of you that have prayed and prayed for us and for protection and for our kids to come and know Christ. It's fun for me to be able to come into a room like this morning where so many of you are connected directly to what we do and tell you stories of what God has done because you've been a part of what we do. It's just an awesome opportunity and an awesome privilege to do that this morning. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have this morning. I'm going to get started this morning by telling you, first of all, what it is that I want to talk about this morning. My life over the years that I've known Christ has been characterized by seasons of my life. And in those seasons of my life, often there'll be a theme. And God will put a particular word in my life, and he'll put a particular theme in my life, and then he builds off of that. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about the word grace. The word grace has been present in my life in lots of different circumstances, and it's just, I've come to understand it more. I've heard the word grace my whole life. I've known about it. I've sung songs about it. I've heard messages preached about it. But because of some things that have been present in my life just recently, the word grace, I've begun to understand it better. It doesn't mean that I get everything about it. It doesn't mean that I'm an authority on it. It just means I'm beginning to understand it in a deeper way. And I wanted to talk to you about this morning and about the word grace and what it means in my life. I'm going to read to you a couple verses. If you'd like to go there in your Bibles, you're sure welcome to. It's in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. And when you get to Hebrews chapter 4, go down to verse 14. A lot of years ago, I think it was probably maybe 11 or 12 years ago, I'm not exactly sure, but there were some guys that I was meeting with weekly out at Arkansas Tech. We were meeting in Coach Billy, baseball coach, Coach Billy Goss's office with some other coaches, and we were just doing some Bible study together, and we were learning some verses. And this was one of the verses that we learned at that time. And that was a real critical time in my life where I needed this verse. I needed this verse in a big way. And so as a group, we memorized it. And then I've just kind of tucked it away. And I've had it. You know, it was kind of there. I remembered it. And from time to time, I would hear it. And it would mean something to me. But like I said, it's like it's come back again, where the Lord used it again in my life over these last few weeks. So I'm going to read starting Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." Now, that's some facts being stated. Those are facts about our faith. Those are facts about who Jesus is. He is this. He is this. He is this. Now, we see the result of that, and that is an instruction of what we're to do because all of those things are true. Verse 16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace," there's our word, "with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Would you pray with me and then we'll get started this morning? God, I thank you. I thank you for your grace, Lord. I can't imagine my screwed up life without it. I have found myself in so many places over the years that you've allowed me to have life that I've been backed in corners. I've been hanging off of cliffs. I've been laying flat on my back, about to be run over. Anything you can imagine in life circumstances that I have found myself in, Lord, and it's always your grace that gets me through those things. And I thank you for that this morning. And Lord, as we talk about your grace this morning, as I talk about it in my life, as I talk about what I've seen and what I've been learning, and I talk about your grace in the lives of our kids at BGCH, Lord, my prayer would be this morning that in this room, all of us would have a new and deeper understanding of grace. And I pray, Lord, that your grace would just fall on us this morning, that we would, as this verse says, find a grace to help us in our time of need. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start this morning by just telling you a little bit of my testimony. Lots of you know me. Sarah and I have lived in Russellville for going on 22 years. So a lot of people think that this is just where I grew up and this was my home, but it wasn't. It feels like it to me now. I've been here so long, I can't imagine calling any other place home. But this is not where I'm from originally. I grew up on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, and my wife Sarah grew up in the Northwest in the state of Montana. And God just, as he does in our story, he directed our paths, and we ended up in college together in Ohio at Cedarville University. And that's where we met, and we started our life together. And then God, it directed our paths to end up here. And so I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my story, not because I think you need to know my story, but I think you'll understand better why this word grace means so much to me this morning as I tell you my testimony. But I came here in 1989 for the first time. I was an 18-year-old kid. I'd just graduated from high school, And I was on a big bus with a bunch of other young people traveling around with a ministry called Life Action, which you heard Kent talk about that in the announcements this morning. And we traveled to all different parts of the country, and we would come into churches, and we would sing, and we had guys that would preach, and we would do children's ministry and all kind of stuff like that. It was an unbelievable experience for me as a young man to experience that and get to be a part of that. And one of our stops in that year was to come to Russellville, Arkansas, and to First Baptist Church. I'd never been to the state of Arkansas. I didn't know anything about it. I just rolled in here and climbed off the bus one Saturday night, and we walked into the sanctuary across the street, and we all of us young people sat in the front row, and then over on the side were all the families that were going to host us. How many of you were here a part of that back in 1989? Was that some of you? That's awesome. So a lot of you remember that. Well, we sat down there, and how it works is it's we would sit there, and I think it was the assistant pastor. He had it already assigned all the host families, and so he would call a couple names. He'd say, so-and-so and so-and-so, would you please stand up? And your host family's going to be this family. And they would raise their hand, and then they would connect us. And we'd, yeah, how are you now? And then we'd go home with them, and we'd stay with them for the time that we were here. Well, we got to me and the guys that I was staying with, and they called our names, and they said, now your host family's not here tonight. And I can't remember where they were at the time, but they said, but we've got a key to their house, and you're just going to go there, and I think they're going to get home tomorrow. Well, that instantly impacted me. I'm like, who does that? Who just gives a bunch of kids they've never met a key to their house and says, hey, we'll see you tomorrow? But it happened. And that happened to be Arnie and Anita Burke that did that. And they just were so gracious and kind. Well, that impacted me as a young man. That really impacted me. That may seem like a small thing, but that really touched me. And I'm like, I can't believe these people are so gracious and kind and giving with their home. They're just going to let us go stay there. My favorite part of the story is this. We got to the house, and they let us in, and we kind of walked in, and we're like, this isn't a joke. We thought it was maybe a joke, but we're just in their house. And there was some little notes and some food set out and stuff. Well, the phone starts ringing. And we're like, well, should we answer it? You know, it's the home telephone. Remember, we used to have those things called home telephones. And I'm like, they're trying to call here. It's not. So I like walk. They pick me to pick up the phone, and I pick it up, and I hear this lady say, hey, what are you doing in my house? And it was Anita Burke. Man, she won me over right then. I'm like, I cannot wait to meet this lady. This is so great. I don't even know where she was, but she was just cutting a joke with this guy, this young man that she'd never met. Well, that was the start of my relationship with this town and with this community, because I just fell in love with the Burke family, and they came home in the next couple days. I can't even remember if it was the next day, but that was the start of just a really, really special couple weeks while we were here, a few weeks while we were here. And God worked in my life tremendously through that family and through being in their home. And I was at such an impressionable stage of my life. I was young and trying to figure out a lot. And God used them in my life. And so that became such an influential part of my life. And then the same thing happened with Pastor Davis and Johnny when I met them, and God began to use them in my life and their family. And lots of you then, that began to happen. So this community and this church really impacted my life. Well, I went off to college then after that, and that's where I met Sarah. And we went to school, and 4 or 5 years later, we were looking, you know, to settle in. We had gotten married, and we were going to start, you know, real life and get a job. And we had teaching degrees, and we were looking for teaching jobs. And at the time, we were living in Nashville, Tennessee. And Arnie and Anita were there, I believe, for a Gideon convention, or I can't remember exactly why, but they were in Nashville. And we had talked, and we said, let's get together. And so we got together for dinner one night, and we started talking about what was coming next for us. And it was just a neat conversation. And they said, well, why don't you put in applications in Russellville and see what happens? And if it works out, you know, we've got an apartment we'd rent to you and kind of help you get going. And the Lord just worked all that out. And next thing you know, Sarah and I are living here in Russellville, Arkansas, this place that we didn't know anything about. We didn't know anybody except just a few families. And we came and we started our life here. And we thought for sure it would just be a short little window of our life, and then we'd go somewhere else and do something else. But we never left. So you're stuck with us, I guess, because I don't think we're going to leave now. But that's how it happened. And that's how we ended up here. We taught school for a few years, Sarah longer than me, because she was better at it than me. But anyway, I ended up going to work a few years later for Danny Lyons and Lyons Rehab Services. And God, again, I see his grace in my life because he put me in that situation where I thought it was going to be about work and it was going to be about business and it was going to be about trying to make money and all those kind of things that aren't bad things. God was using them in my life, but that isn't what it was about. What it was about was God was preparing me to do what I'm doing now. And after I'd worked for Danny for a couple years, I ended up going with him and one of the teams from here at the church to Africa, to one of those, you know, pretty early trips to Africa, to Nairobi. And God, again, just impacted my life as he exposed me to things that I had never been exposed to about what he's doing and how he's working and how he's using people like us in other places in the world. And I got to watch that, and I got to watch, my faith started coming to life. It became more than just about showing up at church on Sunday and things like that. I got to stand in my hotel window one day and look out and watch Hank Jacobs just sharing his faith with people. Those are the kind of things that impacted my life as a young man. And I didn't know what that was about, and I didn't know how to do that. And I remember that night talking to Hank, who's a man that I have utmost respect for. And I said, Hank, I want to be like you. I told him that. I said, Hank, I want to figure it out. I want to figure out how to take all this stuff I've been hearing and learning and just let it come out like it just came out of you when you were down there witnessing to those security guards. And God's let people like that get in my life during the time that I've lived here after all these years. While I was working for Danny, a few years into it, he sent me and another guy to India on a trip to kind of research some possibilities for putting platforms, business platforms in that country as a way to eventually put people on the ground that could be there to share their faith. Again, I had nothing to do with this. This was just Danny saying, hey, I think I want you to go do this, and I did it. Well, God used that trip in my life in a big way because now I had seen what I saw in Africa and my heart was open and more ready for it. And then now I found myself in India. And Danny had prepared me before I went to India. He said, Brad, India is it's different. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just different. It's not Africa, it's a different feel. It's very dark, it's very oppressive. And he had prepared me for it, and he was right. And when I got there, I just couldn't believe what I saw. It just completely was beyond anything I could imagine because I saw what just total darkness is like. I saw what an entire society is like with no influence of light and without Jesus. And it just completely impacted my heart. And during those weeks that I was there, I was physically and all the things that you would think would make a person miserable, they were all present. It was hot and I got sick and all these things. It was miserable. And the parts of the country that I was in, it was dark and it was oppressive and it was sad and all these things. But I kept coming back to the fact that I was at peace while I was there. And I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out at the end of a day when I was tired and hot and worn out and didn't feel good and hungry and all this stuff. And I'd lay down in this hard bed at night and it was so hot that I was sweating. And I would lay there and I would feel God's presence with me. And I couldn't figure that out. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing this in my life? Well, God was preparing me for what I'm doing now. And I didn't even know it. I was just walking. I didn't even know where I was walking. A couple years after that, my uncle called me and he talked to me about Boys and Girls Christian Home. And Boys and Girls Christian Home had been in my family for many, many years. My grandfather was one of the guys that was in on getting it started. And then my uncle had been the director for 30 years. And my life, I always knew about Boys and Girls Christian Home, but honestly, I didn't have any time for it. I was too busy chasing all the things that I wanted to chase. And so my uncle had heard about my trip and he knew that I had been to India and how it had impacted me. And he invited me to go back with him. And he said, I want you to go back to India with me, but I want you to go see BGCH. And so I agreed to that and I went. And it was at that time that it all kind of started to make sense. I understood why God had brought me to Russellville. And I understood why he had had me be hired by Danny Lyons and why Danny had taken me to Africa. And then I understood why he had put me in this church, a church that was minded outside of ourselves, a church that was built with the concept of we're here so we can go out there. And then why Danny had sent me to India on a business trip. It all started making sense because God was putting that in place so that I could do that. And so my couple years later, my uncle retired. It's a long story, and I'll leave out all the details. But the bottom line is the board of Boys and Girls Christian Home asked me to take over for my uncle. And if you knew me at all at that time, you would have said, there's no way Brad's going to say yes to that. Because it just wasn't where I was going in my life or what I was about in my life. But I just knew it was right. And so the day that they asked me that in the board meeting, I just said yes. I just said yes. I didn't know a thing about it. I didn't know a thing about raising money. I didn't know anything about it. I had never been a part of something like this, but I just said yes and just believed that God would figure it out with me and he would help me figure it out. And so that started our journey with Boys and Girls Christian Home 13 years ago. Shortly after that, Pastor Davis gave me the chance to get up in the service one day and just kind of share our testimony and say, hey, this is what's going to be going on in our lives. And after that service, I hadn't even come off the stage, and Dr. Jim Carter and Miss Wanda were waiting for me at the bottom of the steps. And they just came up to me and they said, we're in. What do we need to do? And I tell you that story not to like single them out, but to tell you that's how this whole thing has gone for the last 13 years. That morning, or that evening, I guess it was, they came up and they were the first ones that said, we're in this with you. We're going to walk through this with you. And for the last 13 years, you all so many of you have just been falling right in there with us. And now I look around this room and I can just tell story after story after story of those of you who have done the same thing and gotten on board with us and helped us do what we do in India, helped us take care of our kids, helped us share Christ with kids that were just completely lost and had no chance. And so I'm just thankful to all of you this morning as I share that part of my testimony and my story, that the story ends right there if all of you don't join the story. So thank you for that, and thank you for your love and support. Now I want to talk about grace a little bit, talk about this verse, talk about how grace in my life has impacted my life. As I was preparing for this weekend, and I was thinking about what is it that I want to share? If God's going to give me this opportunity, what is it that I want to share? This topic of grace kept coming up in different places. And I'll tell you, when God kind of sealed the deal for me and he said, this is what I want you to talk about, was 2 weeks ago, I was sitting by my dad's bed. My dad had a heart attack 3 weeks ago that should have taken his life. The doctors have told us they still don't know how he's alive. He's just been hanging for about 3 weeks right there between life and death. And he had a big heart attack, and somehow he pulled through it. It wasn't his time yet, and God didn't call him home. And so I hurried out there the next day after he had that heart attack in hope that I could spend some time with him. And by the time I got there, my flight landed at like 11 o'clock, and my nephew picked me up, and I didn't get to the hospital till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I went down the hallway. He was in critical care, ICU, in this heart hospital. And I walked in, and I wouldn't have known it was my dad if I didn't know it was him and I didn't know it was room. He was unrecognizable. He was hooked up to every imaginable thing you can be hooked up to. And my brother said, as I walked in his room, the only reason he's alive is because of all those machines he's hooked up to. And that jolted me, you know, that jolted me as a guy to walk in and see my dad in that condition. It broke my heart for him. I had spent time with him about 2 weeks prior and just had wonderful time with him and hung out with him and took walks with him. And he was in the backyard, playing ball with my son. And all of a sudden, there he is, right on death's doorstep. And so it was a really big moment for me. And I walked up there and I just grabbed his hand and held onto his hand. He didn't even know I was there. And the next couple days, this word grace became so real to me as I watched my dad and my mom walk through what God had allowed to come their way. A couple days later, my dad was doing a little bit better, and he was still hooked up to all the machines, but they had begun to back his sedation off a little bit, and he was more aware of what was going on. If you've ever met my dad, he is a very charismatic personality. He's very outgoing. He loves to talk. He loves people. He loves hanging out in big groups of people. And so we knew, he couldn't tell us, but we knew down inside it was miserable for him to be in this condition because he wanted to be talking. He wanted to be seeing who was in the room. And the doctor said he's probably starting to be aware of what's going on. Well, one day we were sitting there and he starts doing this with his hand. And so we figured out that he wanted to write something. And so I grabbed the nurse's clipboard and a piece of paper and a pen, and I held it up in front of him. He couldn't even sit up. He's laying like this, and he writes like this. And he writes the words, "I'm better now. Grace is kicking in." That's what my 80-year-old dad wrote on a piece of paper, laying there, hanging somewhere between life and death. The guy's barely hanging on. And I, right then, I said, "God, I'll do it. That's it. I'm talking about grace. That's what I want to talk about, because this is it. I'm seeing it lived out right here in front of me. I'm seeing my dad, who has taught this and preached this and lived this his whole life. And now, in his darkest hour, it's carrying him. This guy is, he's barely alive, but what he's holding on to is God's grace." And it impacted me in such a deep way. I'll never forget that. I took a picture. Actually, I have that piece of paper. Like, I grabbed that thing and I stuck it in my suitcase, and I'll have that forever. But he wrote that. You could hardly read it. It was very broken and so on. But he wrote it, and it was unbelievable. I'm going to tell you some other times that I've experienced grace. And I tell you these stories today not because I think my story is different than anybody else's, or that my story is special. Because if we switched places right now and I sat out there, I know that there's many of you that could walk right up here and tell stories that are just like mine, or even so much more, of circumstances, things you've gone through, and you've experienced God's grace. But a lot of you know my story, that in 2010, everything in our world changed. In 2010, Sarah and I were you have seasons of your life where just, you know, you walk up to somebody and say, "How are you doing?" And you say, "If I was doing any better, I'd be two people." You know, you've heard people say that before. It's a good season. Things are just going good. And we were in one of those seasons. Things were good. Things were fine. I could just tell you there's all the different things that seemed to be good. And we were just in one of those seasons. And Sarah had just found out she was pregnant with baby number 4. We were so excited about that. We were thankful for that. Things were good in our world with our kids and life and so on. And I went to get a physical. I was driving a school bus for the Russellville School District. I went to get a physical for that. And 24 hours later, I found myself in St. Mary's with Dr. Ron White standing at one foot on my bed and Dr. Jeff Hale standing at the other. And they tell me that, "Buddy, you've got colon cancer." That's how quickly everything in my life changed, in just a moment. And I went from here to here in seconds. It was that fast. And that is where grace is the only thing that got me through. It's the only thing. At that moment, I thought of myself as a strong person or someone that could get through things. There was nothing I couldn't just grit my teeth and say, "I'm going to be okay." I wasn't going to be okay. Everything in my world had just been yanked out from under me. And later that day, I find out that while I was in the hospital that day, while I was trying to wrap my mind around just being told that I had cancer, Sarah lost that baby that she was pregnant with the same day. She miscarried that baby in the hospital. And so that night, we're at home and we put our kids to bed. And Sarah and I literally laid down on the living room floor and just fell apart. We just laid there and cried, and we didn't know what to say or do. We just laid there, completely two broken human beings. And you know what we did? We cried out for grace. We just said, "God, we got to have you right now, or we're not going to make it." And you know what? He came. He did. I can't tell you that it was easy. I can't tell you that it was just like I snapped my fingers. We had hard, long, dark days. And we may have more of them. People have said that to me before, like, Brad, is God's grace just present in your life because right now you're in remission? And no, I may not be in remission tomorrow. I don't know. My cancer fight may not be over. Right now, the Lord has been gracious to me, and I'm in a season where right now I'm not having to fight that fight, but I may be again. It may not be over, but he got me through those dark days, and it was because of his grace. That's the only reason I got through it. And I guess I'm telling you that story this morning because I know there's people in this room this morning. I know you. And I know what you're going through. And you're in water that's so deep right now, you can't get your nose up out of it to catch a breath. And somehow you wandered in here this morning, and I'm just telling you that you're in the right place. That this is where God will meet you. This is where God's grace will be poured out on your life. I believe that with all my heart, not because I've read it in a book, not because I heard it on a radio show. It's because I've seen you go through it, and I've seen my dad go through it, and I've walked through it myself. I think about grace this way. When my dad was having his heart attack 3 weeks ago, it was at midnight on a Monday night, and my dad woke her up and said, something's wrong, and then it hit him. And she called my brother, they live right across the yard from each other. My brother, as he's running across the yard, he calls me and he said, Pops has had a heart attack and it's bad. He runs in the door and I said, I want to talk to him. Because if he's about to go home to heaven, I want to talk to him one more time. My brother holds the phone up to my dad's ear and I just start talking to him and telling him I love him. He's crying, he's in pain, I don't think he's going to make it. Have you ever been there in life? I don't mean physically. I mean, have you ever been there in life? My dad was desperate. My dad was so needy at that moment, he couldn't make it 5 more seconds without help. And guys, that's what I've been there before with things that I've done in my life, decisions I've made in my life, roads I've gone down that I shouldn't have gone down. And I've been that desperate. And you know what comes to me in those times? Grace. And that's what happened with my dad that night. Within minutes, there was a helicopter landed in a baseball field right close to their house. And they get my dad on that helicopter and they fly him to a heart hospital. All this stuff came to my dad in his time of desperate need. And to me, that's the perfect picture of grace. That's what grace is all about. Grace comes to us when we are in the middle of a life heart attack, so to speak. Or when we find ourselves flat on our back with no other options other than to just cry out for help. And I know that some of you are there this morning. We don't want anybody to know that we're there. We want to walk in here on Sunday mornings and try to convince everybody that everything's great and that we've got it all together and that we don't have any problems. But it's a lie. We all do it. We all live it. I'm going to tell you another story of grace. And this one is one that, you know, when I start telling it sometimes people get uncomfortable, but I'm okay with that. I am married today only because of grace. Sarah and I have been married for 22 years, and I can tell you that if it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't be married today. We've been through highs and lows and dark days. We have had days where we woke up and said, you know, I don't know if we'll be married to each other by the end of today. That might have been the last one. And I'm just being vulnerable with you this morning because I know that there's some of you out there that are in the same spot. And you don't want to talk about it because it's uncomfortable and we're afraid to let our guard down. There's some of you here this morning that have been in that spot and then it came apart. And your marriage fell apart and you're broken about it and you're sad about it and you hurt. But God's grace is there. God's grace is there for those moments. You may be sitting here this morning saying, I don't think I'm going to ever recover from this divorce. It crushed me. But you can with God's help, with God's grace. God can bring you through those things, but you have to be willing to let him. Not many of you in this room probably know this, but Sarah and I got so desperate and so broken in our relationship, we ended up in CR. We all hear Celebrate Recovery talked about in our church. And we don't, you know, we all don't want to think that we're a candidate for it. Well, guess what? I'm going to stand up here today and say I was. There, I said it. I went to CR because I was broken. I was just broken, and our marriage was broken. 14 years ago, things fell apart for us, but God, in His grace, brought us through it. And I don't want to leave that part of my story out. I don't want to just stand up here this morning and just tell you the high spots and give you the impression that, oh, everything for Palmer's just always worked out. No, it hasn't. The only thing that's worked out for me is that God's grace has just consistently been there for me. And it's carried me and it sustained me. And it will do the same for you. I promise you that. I can't promise you that everything in your life's going to go just right. I can't promise you that you're going to be healthy and wealthy and all that. I can't promise you any of that stuff any more than I can promise it to myself. But I can promise you that God's grace will be enough. God's grace will get you through it. The next story of grace that I want to tell is I'm going to bring in back the story of Boys and Girls Christian Home. And I want to tell you about a young lady that is at our home right now called named Solani. I'll put her picture up there. Solani came to our home when she was in the fourth grade. And she makes my story look mild. I've had a couple bumps in the road, not near as bad as some of you have had, but I've had a couple. Solani has nothing but bumps in her road. When she was in the fourth grade, her and her little sister had to live through their mom being murdered by their dad in their own house. Okay, that's tough. That's real pain. That's real hurt. And then this dad is on the run from the authorities. And so these two little girls are just out wandering the streets. And that's where they were when they got to BGCH. So they came to Boys and Girls Christian Home. And this little girl was angry and bitter and hurt. And I was talking to one of our girls that works at BGCH. And she said, probably one of the meanest kids that's ever come to BGCH. Just life had beat her up so bad, she was awful. Well, after they were there a couple years, her little sister named Suhani, who a lot of you prayed with us for a few years ago, was found out that she had a heart condition. She had a heart condition from birth that was just exposed when she was there with us. And she almost died. I mean, she was right on the brink of death. They called it late stage heart disease. She was not going to make it. But Solani and the girls at night would pray. And Solani wouldn't pray. She would just sit there and listen to the other girls pray for Suhani. And then they began to pray for her dad. And guys, I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but it's an amazing story of grace. It's an amazing story of how God was gracious to this young lady and brought her to BGCH, even through the pain of her losing her mother, the pain of her sister almost dying. Solani began to watch these girls pray for her sister, and eventually, little Suhani, God raised her up and made her strong again. And God got her help. Some of the people in this room helped pay for all of her medical treatments. How about that? Talk about this church having an impact around the world. There were people in this church that helped pay for that little girl to go get the help that she needed, and God saved her. Well, Solani watched that, and she said, there's no other explanation. That's got to be God. And she gave her heart to Jesus. And now, this year, she's going to be a 10th grader at our school, in our home, and she's a testimony of God's grace. That is such an awesome story to me of what God can do. He can take brokenness and He can take pain. These little girls and boys that come to our home, they're broken, they're abused, they're abandoned. Every negative word you can find to use, they characterize their lives. And then they have a head-on collision with grace. They run right into a God who's full of grace. This morning, as I close, I want you to just be honest with yourself and say, where in your life are you in need of grace? I prayed this morning that God would just back a big old dump truck, so to speak, of grace up into the doors of this room and just dump it. And grace would just flow through this place, because I know that there's many of us in here this morning that need it. We need it. I need it desperately. And so as we close tonight, this morning, I'm gonna sing a song. I was going to sing this song at the beginning of the service, but after Robert and I talked about it this week, we said, no, let's do it at the end as a part of the invitation. I sang this song here at this church probably 15 years ago. I don't even know how long ago. And a couple weeks ago, and we had some of our friends from India here, Greg Nelson allowed us to use his boat and take him out and take him on a ride on the boat. And we got done. I thanked him and he said, you're welcome, but here's the deal. You got to sing that song again, that Were It Not for Grace song. And he didn't even know that God was working on my heart about grace and the theme for this morning. He just said, and I said, I got it. We'll do it. I mean, that was another confirmation this morning. God saying, talk about grace. Somebody needs to hear a message about grace this morning. And so I'm going to sing this song as an invitation song. And I'm begging you to please be honest with yourself this morning. And if you are in need of God's grace this morning, please don't just sit there and ignore it. Just get up and walk down here and let somebody come up and pray with you and love you and be a tool or an instrument for God's grace to be in your life. Some of you in this room this morning, you may not even have ever known Jesus until this morning. You've heard me talk about it. And maybe you need to just come and get in line with God's grace for the first time in your life and give your heart to Christ. But this is a safe place. This is a safe room this morning for you to do that. A lot of times we come into places like this, we sneak in, we're like, man, I just hope nobody knows what I'm going through or knows how desperate I am. And in moments like this, we're just like, man, if he'll hurry up and get this over with, I can get out of here and I don't have to deal with this. But guys, it's never going to work. God's grace can meet you here and he can cover whatever it is that's going on in your life. And then he can send you out into your week in a completely different place. So I'm asking you to consider that this morning. As I sing, if you want to come forward, come up here and pray, kneel, just stand in the middle of the front. Just say, I need God. I need grace. Somebody will come find you and pray with you. All right? Were it not for grace.